From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour and next hour. Oh, get ready for this. He knew the late Father Malachi Martin, Charles Coulomb. He'll discuss the supernatural and why it exists. While Florida's busiest airport will begin using high-tech iris scanning technology to filter out possible terrorists and add an additional layer of security there, workers and other people at Orlando International Airport will have both irises scanned at special computers to determine their identity. The Airport Access Control Pilot Program, or AACPP, is a first of its kind. A person would be required to stand in front of a special mirror and have both eyes scanned. This is what they say about it. It has to verify both irises, not just one. Statistically, it is very reliable. Iris scanners and technology of this iris scanning is considered one of the most reliable biometric technologies. You know that this is one way of just trying to identify people without anything else happening. Technology, and it's on its way. France, Britain, Germany have now warned Iran that they will break off talks and join Washington in seeking UN Security Council action if Tehran makes good on its threats to resume atomic work. The foreign ministers of the European Union's three biggest powers sent a toughly worded letter to Hassan Rouhani, Iran's chief nuclear negotiator, warning that resuming potentially arms-related nuclear work would bring the negotiating process to an end. And they say the consequences, though they don't elaborate, could only be negative for Iran. A district attorney investigator who shot five family members in the head as they slept before killing himself had no apparent marital or financial problems. This is a strange story. Investigators are still baffled about why David McGowan, a 44-year-old investigator for the Riverside County District Attorney's Office, killed his wife, mother, and three children. The million-dollar question, they say, is why someone with such a reputable record would just simply wake up one day, and the next thing you know, you've killed your entire family. This just doesn't make sense. According to the district attorney there, we've tried to rationalize why. Did he have financial, work, alcohol, or drug issues? We haven't found any of that. Investigators searching McGowan's sprawling two-story ranch home about 100 miles southeast of Los Angeles found the typed lyrics of the Lost Lonely Boys song Heaven next to his computer and a note that read, "Woe is me. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the next life." Twin brothers died in a fall on North America's highest mountain after they reached the summit and they were on their way back down. The bodies of Jerry and Terry Humphrey, both 55-year-olds of Negley, Ohio, found about at the 17,300-foot level of Mount McKinley, just below the deeply steep Denali Pass. The brothers were not roped together. A spokesperson for the park there says it was possible one of the other brothers fell on top of the other. They didn't have the ropes, and they both fell about 1,000 feet up there in Mount McKinley. In Fort Lauderdale, a 70-year-old woman survived a 9-story fall from a condominium tower. She landed on a canopy. How about that for luck? Gloria Giamatti was cleaning her balcony when she landed on a first-floor canopy. She was alert and talking when the rescuers arrived. In North Carolina, the man who fought an attempt to get back a severed fingertip that he found in a pint of frozen custard has now made a belated offer to return this fingertip. It's way too late, though, to reattach it to the person it belongs to. The piece of index finger was found earlier this month by Clarence Stowers in the dessert he purchased from a frozen custard store. He had refused to give it back to the shop's owners or a doctor who was treating a 23-year-old man who accidentally stuck his hand in a mixing machine and had his finger lopped off at the first knuckle. Stowers put the finger in his freezer, taking it out occasionally to show television cameras. Several days after the May 1st incident, He changed his mind and offered to give the finger back if it could be reattached. Medical experts say reattaching a finger generally must be done within hours. I don't know if you've noticed this already this springtime, but what's happening to the bees? Where are they? I've only seen a few, as a matter of fact, in the St. Louis area. I didn't see any in Los Angeles. And this is what some experts are beginning to say. Bees, via pollination, are responsible for 15 to 30% of the food that all of us eat in the United States. In the last 50 years, the domesticated honeybee population, for example, which most farmers depend on for pollination, has declined by about 50%. And they say unless actions are taken to slow the decline of the domesticated honeybees and augment their populations with wild bees, many fruits and vegetables may simply disappear from the food supply. This is a big story that people are just beginning to realize could have some treacherous results for all of us if they don't fix this. Next time you go into a hotel room, think about this. Rising complaints about a number of rising complaints from people who are in hotel rooms. They're complaining about bed bugs. I kid you not. Apparently, a lot of hotels now, for some reason, are being infested with bed bugs, and these bugs are all over the place. Some people are suing hotel chains. I guess they're settling because the chains really sweep this under the carpet, so to speak. But some experts are beginning to say there's some kind of reason why these bed bugs are infesting all these hospitals and all these hotels and every place else that a lot of people would be sleeping. I just can't understand why. British scientists, by the way, have developed an anti-gravity machine that can float heavy stones, coins, lumps of metal in mid-air based around a powerful magnet. The device levitates objects in a very similar way of how a special train runs above its tracks. A professor of physics at Nottingham University, his name's Peter King, said that they can take an object, float it in mid-air because the magnetic forces on the object are enough to balance gravity. This is an incredible story, and eventually they believe that they will be able to use this as a propulsion system. By the way, scientists in England are working on a memory pill that could soon be available over the counter. They have pretty impressive early results already. The drug, known as CX-717, increases the brain's computing power. In trial studies, it has improved mental ability, and it is developed by Cortex, a California company. It also wants to consider using this as a treatment for narcolepsy, jet lag, hyperactivity, and Alzheimer's disease. And a schoolgirl told a British court that she was put in a laundry bag and was going to be thrown from a third-floor apartment window into a river by her mother and her aunt, who thought she was a witch. Prosecutors say the girl, brought to London from Angola by a woman claiming to be her mother, had been regularly abused by members of her family after they had become convinced that she was putting curses on members of her family and that she was a witch. Well, she's not a witch, and they have arrested the mother and the aunt, accused of conspiracy to commit murder. Well, I've got open lines for you this hour. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
This hour of Coast to Coast AM is brought to you by United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and let's go right to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Steve in Phoenix.
Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
I just noticed a coincidence, and I know how you feel about coincidences, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Okay, what is it?
Your little story about the retina scan is the fifth story, separate, completely different subject story that I've heard about implementing retina scans on people today.
It's totally different stories. This one's, of course, the Orlando airport.
The one right before you came on the air on our local station was talking about runaways and how if they take your kids down to have retina scans, they can identify them years down the road. Even though their face changes, the retina will always be the same, and this is a location to take your kids in to have them scanned.
And, you know, I know...
And the story I heard before that was about illegal aliens never giving their proper name, and I heard a story this morning about prostitutes and how they're going to start retina scanning prostitutes because they never give the proper name. This is the fifth story today that I've heard. Completely different.
I got to assume these are pretty close.
So I want to ask the listening audience, is your area also bombarding you with these kinds of stories? And if so, please mention it.
I tell you what, sounds like they're trying to desensitize us a little bit. This is coming. It's not going to stop. Same with the RFID tags. They're going to happen. They're going to implement them. And, you know, you're going to have to protest if you want. But like your Social Security card, you're not going to be able to get a job unless you have one of those numbers, right? I think the same thing's going to be true about tags, irises, everything else. This is how they're going to leak these things in, and it's happening faster than I imagined. First-time caller line, your turn. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. This is Randy from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hi, Randy. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was calling because I was wondering if any of your listeners had ever heard of a guy called William. Like I was saying when I called in, I don't let many people know this, but I was in prison for a while, and I came in contact with William while in prison, and the guy is like a healer, you know? I mean, he just, like, gets in the presence of people and just does wonderful things. I've seen him, like, a guy that had cancer, he rubbed his forehead and massaged his feet, and within a couple of weeks, this guy's cured, you know?
Now, this was William. You met this guy in prison?
Absolutely. He was a prisoner among all of us other guys, and he would teach us things, and he was just a great guy, a calming effect on the whole place.
What was he in there for, do you know?
Well, yeah, I do. He was in there for a kidnapping charge, and the weird thing about it was he started practicing a thing called, what do you call that? Out of body something another.
But anyway, astral projection.
Okay, he started practicing something like that, and then from what he was telling us was that he just came back a different person. I mean, he went out one guy and come back another, and when he came back this other person, he was just, you know, he just did all this wonderful stuff. And I know he got out of prison, and I don't know what happened to him other than, you know, that he's out there doing great stuff somewhere, because the guy's got a gift. I mean, he just has this common effect on everybody. He's a healer. He's a teacher. He teaches all kind of things, and I remember his lessons, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about. He would teach us that there's things coming in the future that we need to prepare for. And it's just weird. You know, I'm out on my route and I'm flipping through the radio and I come across your station. And it just blew my mind that you guys are talking about some of the same things that he was telling us about in prison.
Well, there's no doubt that some people who have practiced astral projection have come back with these strange powers, and maybe William's one of those. What prison system were you guys in? What state?
We were in the Tennessee prison system.
And when do you think he got out?
I know for a fact he got out about 4 or 5 months ago. He did 27 years in prison.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just send out an urgent notice to our listeners who seem to pick up on everything. And if they have heard of this individual named William, maybe he's not even using his own name anymore, send me a fast blast message, and then I'll mention it on the air tonight if somebody has found him somewhere. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Peter calling from Albany, New York, listening on XM Satellite Radio.
Well, good to talk with you. What's up?
Two really quick things. Do you think, first of all, that flight over the Capitol yesterday was some sort of a test to see how close they could get before there was an American response?
Oh, no, I don't think it was a test. Is it possible they would do something like that to see just how the system would work? Probably. But in this particular case, I think the instructor and the student really went off course and just blundered. You know, I was impressed with the fact that our F-16s got up there so fast. I wish that could have happened during 9/11. I was impressed with the fact that they reacted quickly. They were prepared to shoot down this Cessna. What I was not impressed with was what appeared to be pandemonium amongst people when this was happening. You know, I got to tell you, you know, we're supposed to be the strongest country in the world, and for that kind of chaos to occur on just a single engine Cessna is kind of scary to me.
And to have them get that close, they were what, within 4 miles?
Well, they never would have been that close. We would have taken them down. Our pilots are correct; they would have crashed nowhere near some of those targets. But it just tells me that if something were done in a more organized way, not a blunder of a plane coming into airspace, we'd really have to react and react pretty darn heavy. I was in Washington, D.C. about a year ago, and I saw the White House, I saw the Capitol from the outside. I don't see a lot of troop activity. Now, you know, this is a free country now, but things have changed, and you would think that they would protect these areas with a lot of armed troops, and I didn't see a lot of them. And to me, that's pretty strange. I can't figure that out.
And the second thing, really quick, your story earlier about the bees. We've had a few days in the high 70s, low 80s, and I have seen personally one bumblebee.
Yeah, I know. And let's say 5 years ago, how many might you have seen during this time period?
Oh man, there would be nests of them just all over the place.
Yeah, I know. I've gotten some fast blasts from people in Florida who say that they see a lot of bees still. But other than that, a lot of people around the country, they are not seeing a lot of these bees at all. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I'm Angie from
Angie.
Fairbanks, listening on 970.
What's going on, Angie?
Well, I sent you an email regarding a question that I had, actually.
Now, what's that? A lot of people send me emails on questions.
Well, I understand that. I see a lot of shadow people and ghosts as a security guard. I work nights a lot.
Ah, okay.
And I was wondering if it might be tied in with an experience that my mother had when she was pregnant with me.
What happened there?
Her and my aunts were messing around with a Ouija board.
Oh, I remember you. I read your story last Friday.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And
go
they
ahead.
Start something out of the Ouija board, started throwing things around the room along with them. And my mom said she actually felt something reach into her stomach and wrap itself around me like it was trying to protect me or something.
And then you started seeing shadow people and strange things, I guess, when you were a kid too, right?
Right. I've been able to see stuff all my life, and it's just it's to the point where I'm scared to be in the house alone and I'm afraid of the dark.
Well, now let me ask you, though. Are you afraid of these shadow beings? If you think they're trying to protect you, I would think that you would welcome the fact that they were still around you. You sound like you're afraid of them.
The shadow beings actually kind of creep me out. The ghosts I'm fine with, but I just get an eerie feeling when they're around.
How often do you see the shadow people?
On almost every post I've worked at. I see them quite often.
And do they come at you, or they just kind of whisk by you? What happens?
None of them have tried to attack me or anything like that. They're just kind of there.
Well, you know, I am at a point now, Angela, that I am convinced that these shadow beings, whatever they may be, are coming from another dimension. There's just too many people that are seeing this, and, you know, you can't chalk it up now as people's imaginations. I mean, there's something to it, and they're coming from some portal or some other dimension. I'm not even sure they're really aware of us, but we sure see them, and I think that you're probably just one of those. And yes, she did email me, and if you have stories that you want to email me with, that's very simple. It's George at Coast to Coast, T-O, by the way, coasttocoastam.com. Send that to me. We get thousands a day, and I try to respond to some of them and look at them all, even if it may be just for a few seconds. And we'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this entire hour. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. From somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Hey, be the first on your block to pick up the June issue of the After Dark newsletter, which is the UFO special edition, edited by guest editor Lex Lonehood, who happens to be the webmaster, by the way, of coasttocoastam.com. You can get the 14 issues for the price of 12 and the collector's item UFO special by going to coasttocoastam.com. Just click through the orange type right there at the bottom of the page or call this toll-free number, 1-800. No. It's 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. Well, Friday, it's Friday the 13th, so you can imagine what our open line night will be like. And I got to tell you, Friday the 13th never bothered me. I talk about it a lot, and I'm sure we're going to talk about some bad luck cases tomorrow night. But I happen to come from the old school that if you think positively, it doesn't matter if you're sitting in seat 13 or if you're going up to the 13th floor or if you're just out and about on Friday the 13th. I think it's a state of mind. And we'll talk a little bit about that again during our special open lines tomorrow on Coast to Coast AM Friday. Let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line first of all. Where are you calling from? You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Brett.
Brett, where might you be?
I'm in Marco Island, Florida.
That must be nice. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I know that you don't believe in coincidences. And I've never been a fan of them either, but I worked for a large Christian organization down here and wasn't working there, and things were going pretty rough. And I've never been a person that goes to church a lot and, you know, never said my prayers or whatever before I went to bed. And one night I was flipping through the channels, and I ended up watching one of these big televangelist people that are on TV. And he really drew me in, and he was, you know, beautiful speaker. He had the crowd going. And before I went to bed, I said a prayer, and it must have been the first time I had said a prayer in probably 15 years. And that weekend, and my prayer was, you know, I need to get a job because I've been unemployed for about 2 months. I was like, sure. I just, you know, give me direction, help me get a job. That weekend, I went to Pleasure Island, and I saw the preacher. He was walking right next to me. and I said to him, I said, oh, my God. I go, I just saw you on TV last night, and you're the first person that made me say a prayer in 15 years. And he looked me straight in the eyes and says, you needed to pray. And then he just kept walking.
That was it?
That was it.
Okay, so after the prayer, has your life changed?
About 2 weeks later, I got a job. And I don't know if it's coincidence or something that you just changes your perspective after, you know, you see something like that and you just link it together. But I tell you, I just went numb when I saw him. So it was the same guy I had just seen on TV the couple of days before.
It's called synchronicity. And I think when you start to pray or use your mind, consciousness, a lot of times it's one of the same. I think you're tapping into something in the universe, and a lot of people call it godlike. Whatever it is out there, you've got an ability, we all do, to tap into that, to do some wonderful things, and I think you help change your attitude. And I think when you start thinking that way, start thinking positively about stuff, things will change. I did an experiment several years ago about positive and negative. I wanted to see what would happen, and when I started thinking positively, some incredible things would happen to me. Then I decided, okay, Mr. Smart Guy, let's do the negative experiment. Let's see what happens. And let me tell you something. It is horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. It was out of control. It came back and zapped me 5 times worse than what I was doing. And it almost knocked me off the face of the planet. I'm telling you, it almost killed me. And I will never dabble in that again. It's just too negative. So I think what you did is you did something positive, and it worked for you. And just keep it up. That's all.
All right.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to west of the Rockies. Hello, where are you?
Hey, this is Michelle. I'm in San Diego.
Well, it must be nice to be in San Diego.
It is very nice, actually.
Were you born down there, or did you end up just moving down there?
Actually, I was born in a very small town in Nevada, and I moved down here when I was just a few months old. So technically, I've, you know, lived here my whole life, just wasn't really born here.
Well, you're there now. How old are you now?
I'm 20 years old.
Wow, you're still young to enjoy life.
I am still young, yes.
What's on your mind?
I'm calling today because I was tuning in last night, even prior to the show this evening, about ESP and listening to Michael and Sally. And I myself have actually, I wouldn't necessarily call ESP, but my mom has it too. But it's just that, you know, that sixth sense, that really strong intuition.
You're intuitive, yeah. You've got the ability to be very intuitive about certain things, don't you?
Yes. Very, sometimes too much for my own good. But this particular incident happened just a few weeks ago, and I've recently been helping out one of my close friends with a domestic violence situation that I just started being involved in this situation, and pretty intense. He basically stalks her. He's almost killed her, and it's been a battle for her to try and get out of it. This particular night, I had left her place, and she lives in an apartment complex, and I took her car, and I was out for a little bit, and I came back, and I parked underground, and I just got this overwhelmingly uncomfortable feeling about opening the door and getting out and walking through the garage to the elevator. I just couldn't bring myself to open the door, and So I wanted to call her and have her meet me, and in order to do that, I had to leave the underground, and I went to a local 7-Eleven, which was a further one that was down the street. For some reason, I felt like going there instead, and couldn't get a hold of her, and on my way back, I happened to see this man's truck go by about 6 blocks north of me just in a very split second. I happened to see him, and he was heading towards her place. Uh-oh. And so, yeah, so I called her, and of course she was freaking out, and because he's very, very dangerous. I mean, he's capable of doing absolutely anything, and I just had this feeling that, you know, it was more intense than I've ever felt, basically. It was kind of like a stabbing feeling in my gut. And I just knew that we needed to get out of there and that it wasn't safe. And I felt mine and hers were, our lives were basically at stake and in danger. So I was able to call her and get her and I out of there. And I didn't really know where to go. We just drove far away from that area. And the whole time I'm just feeling this, like, you know, enormous feeling of worry and whatnot.
Well, you might have saved her.
Exactly. And I feel like I not only saved her, but saved myself. And I actually envisioned, because she lives on the ninth floor of a building, and he has always found a way up there regardless of security. And I just envisioned him getting in there, and both of us just, I mean, we have nowhere to go. And I just envisioned a situation happening to both of us. And so the reason that it tripped me out so much basically is because I happened to go off route from where I normally would and happened to leave there in the first place. And on my way back, happened to see him just, I mean, in that split second, enough time to warn her and get her out of there.
Well, that's part of being intuitive. Hey, I want to ask you something. I want to see how intuitive you really are. I want to see if you have the ability to transmit. Some people are transmitters, other people are receivers. You said you're 20 years old. I want you to think about what you're doing for a career. I want to see if I can guess some of it. Tell me when you started to transmit.
Wow, that's funny.
Are you doing it now? Thinking,
yes,
of your career. All right. Do you work in some, like a high security place or something like that? Is it like a guy, does it have a lot of security around you?
The general occupation does require high security. The particular facility I work in has some security.
I see you. Do you work for a company that like makes ATM machines or something like that?
Yes, I do. However, I do know that you guys know my occupation because I did tell you when I called at first.
No, you never told me what you're doing at all. But, hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I got to move on. First-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm down below New Orleans on the Mississippi River.
You're on the river now?
Yeah.
You're on a boat?
Yeah, I run a boat.
Oh, I'm impressed you're calling us. Just sitting back? Just
oh, man, since
like
you made this after watch, I've always dreaded the midnight to six watch. And your show, I just discovered it here a couple of months ago, and it's really made it. I look forward to getting up for the midnight watch now.
See, it makes the night just really zoom by. Now, do they pay you extra for working late?
Oh, well, you do. You have either the front watch or the after watch on a boat. And I do the after watch.
I don't get paid extra for working late.
You work, you work 6 hours at a time, and they pay pretty good. The money's good. That's why I do it.
Well, good for you. What gets you to call us tonight?
The bed bug thing. Well, first I wanted to ask you about the number 8. I've started a new business venture, and I wrote down the number 8 and put it in my wallet. Is that all you got to do?
That's all you have to do. You stay positive. You put the 8 in. But I'm going to tell you a story of a friend of mine in Los Angeles. His name's George. He works at a Greek restaurant out there. He took the number 8. He listened to the show with Glynis McCants, the numbers lady. He put an 8. He made one. Just made an 8. Put it in his wallet. He goes to a casino. And not everybody should just rush to a casino and do this. But this guy won, I think, close to $11,000. And he never wins. And the next day he was telling me about it, and he said, I can't wait to go back again. And I said, George, don't do it. I said, you're going to abuse the privilege. And sure enough, he goes back with his eight in his wallet, and he gives back about $4,000. He loses that. He immediately stopped and realizes that you can only really use that number eight for good purposes. So in your case, you know what? As long as you believe positively about it, it might help your new business. I think it'll work for you, and it may happen fast, too.
I hope so. Well, he's still $7,000 ahead. The way I do things, I'm behind.
Yeah. What kind of business is it?
The thing with the bed bugs.
What do you do, though? What kind of business are you in?
I run boats. That's what I do.
Oh, so that is it. So you do that, too, for a little company, huh?
Well, it's a pretty big company, the business I'm starting has to do with where I'm where I get on the boat at and where I get off the boat at. I'm gonna be moving stuff that's I don't want to get too much into it because everybody be jumping on it.
But, yeah, all right. Let's keep it your secret. But as far as the bed bugs,
let's get it going. But then we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
The bed bug thing. I do a lot of traveling. I stay in a lot of hotels, nice hotels, bed and breakfasts. And I have noticed in the past 5 years, I just thought I was going crazier. You know, I don't know if I'm real sensitive to that kind of thing or what, but I don't travel without packing some spray, some bug spray, and that can't be good for you. I was just wondering. I know this is hints from Heloise, but maybe some of your listeners know some way that you can combat it, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, if you go to a hotel room and you wake up and you've got bite marks and welts all over the place, you know, there's a pretty good chance you've been bitten by bed bugs. Or you've been with the wrong person. You never know about that nowadays. But if you know, and a lot of people will go immediately down to the hotel. Some people are getting their rooms for free. But I mean, just the thought of sleeping with these things that live on human blood just drives me nuts. I mean,
there
it's crazy.
Go.
And I don't know if you can't spray the bed sheets. So what do? I think, you know, you're out of luck.
I do. I spray. I don't lie. I don't pack a bag without packing some insect spray, flying insect killers. It's been the only thing I found.
Well, how can you sleep on that though? Doesn't it asphyxiate
you? You have to wait an hour or two for the stuff to dry, and then you know that you're still sleeping on it. You know, but there's got to be something out there that you can do. You know, that wouldn't be toxic to you.
Yeah. And they hide. Apparently, they hide in the mattresses, and they come out when they know you're asleep.
What's up with it? I mean, I've just noticed in the past 5 years, I've been traveling for the past 25.
Apparently, it's out of control right now. I think it has to do with climate change. Something's going on.
I'm talking really. Even nice places, bed and breakfasts.
Absolutely. Some of the high-class places, I'm not going to give any names right now, but some of the best hotel chains you can imagine have this same problem. I mean, it doesn't skew economics. These bed bugs, you know, they'll go to high-class hotels and low-class hotels. They don't care.
Well, I know you got millions of listeners, and I'm sure other people are encountering the same problem. Maybe they figured, you know, found some way to do it.
All right. Thanks for the call. Good luck with
the
business.
Okay, George. Hey, take care, man. Appreciate
you. You go floating down the river, which is probably the Mississippi down there if you're in Memphis. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Would you imagine that we'd all want to talk about bed bugs?
Here we are, network show, listened by millions, and we're talking about bed bugs tonight as I open up my mouth. Oh, well.
I've actually read several articles lately that have been talking about this issue, and it's been quite a discussion. The issue is the bed bugs really have been living in our beds around the country and around the world forever, all through modern times. They live there, and about 75, 80 years ago, we started to develop poisons that could kill them off.
See, I think they're immune to that now.
Well, that's what's happened. That we use those poisons, and of course, we don't kill all of them. We just kill, like, 98% of them, and the 2 or 3% that are left
develop a resistance,
and now the poisons, none of them are working on them anymore.
See, that's why when a doctor prescribes antibiotics to you, you're supposed to take them all, not just 3 or 4 pills, and you say, "Oh, I feel better now." If you don't take them all, there's a high likelihood that whatever bacteria was in your system will become immune to it the next time, and that's what's happening.
That's right, and it's with antibiotics, and it's with poisons. It's with all the kinds of, quote, modern miracles that we've been developing. They just don't work anymore because these little bugs, they reproduce so quickly that as we kill them, they go through life cycle after life cycle after life cycle, and they evolve. And they evolve defenses and mechanisms that allow them to avoid the poisons that we use on them.
You're making me scratch already. Thanks for the call.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. And I think you're absolutely right. I think they are developing a resistance to these insecticides and everything else. Wildcard line, it's your turn. Welcome to the program. You're up. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Sean out of Calgary. First time through to you.
Well,
figure
great.
Say hi to my sister, Brenda. She's probably listening.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. What's on your mind?
Well, I was a doubter in the beginning, but you're doing a really good job, and I just wanted to ask you about something.
Yeah.
The astral projection thing.
Okay.
You ever want to prove it?
Personally?
Like, I mean, set up an experiment and actually prove it.
Not a bad idea. I didn't think about that. What would I do? How would we...
Well, my proposal is we set up a neutral site, something I can focus on, and let's see if I can do this.
You want to be the guinea pig?
Well, I'm not a guinea pig. I've actually done it. I've had anecdotal evidence from different people at different times and places that I'm somewhere I shouldn't have been, and I'm not awake.
Could you
but
do
I
this?
I remember dreaming about it.
Could you do this at will and when we're on the air?
That's the question.
I'll tell you and what. Go ahead, real fast.
I'm sorry. It's just a matter of something to focus on, but I want a neutral site, something you're comfortable with. You know, this could be kind of disconcerting. I thought it was just lucid dreaming.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we can talk about the techniques of this. I'll bring in a couple experts we've had on the air over the last month on astral projection and see if we might be able to work on some kind of an experiment. I'd be for that. I love these experiments. I'll be back in a moment because a friend of the late Father Malachi Martin will be joining us. I'm George Norrie, and Coast to Coast AM continues.
Podcasting, the new way to get Coast to Coast AM to your computer. Available to all StreamLink subscribers at coasttocoastam.com.